Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 11th of November, Veterans Day, commemorating the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, when an armistice signaling the end of World War I descended. Unfortunately, we've had many wars since then. We honor the veterans of those wars on this day. This hour of the program, we're going to be talking about abortion and health care reform, a provision that you may have heard about because it's been much covered, that was added to the health care bill passed by the House of Representatives, would place restrictions on abortion coverage. It's not too complicated an issue. I think what it boils down to is private insurance companies may not sell abortion coverage in the exchange that would be put together as a result of this health care reform. And some are saying that it is goes beyond the Hyde Amendment, which bans the use of federal dollars to pay for almost all abortions in a number of government programs. We're going to have two viewpoints. Actually, we'll have more than that because you'll be invited to join this conversation. Susan Armacost will be joining us the first half hour, Legislative Director of Wisconsin Right to Life. And later we'll be speaking with Nicole Safar, who is Public Policy Analyst with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And we also have an email address that you can use. That number is talk@WPR.org. We start with Susan Armacost. Hello, Susan. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Yeah. Let's start for just a moment with Sarah Palin's visit to Wisconsin. A big success?
Oh, it was fantastic. The crowd couldn't have been more enthusiastic. Thousands of people. We were just delighted to have her, and it was a wonderful, wonderful event.
And her future, what do you think it's going to be?
Have no idea. You know, it wasn't a political event. It was here to support, Sarah Palin was here to support the work of Wisconsin Right to Life Education Fund. So it was not a political event. So we really, she didn't discuss those issues, nor did we.
Right. Let's look at the STUPAC provision, which the House Democrats helped pass on Saturday night, restricting private insurers from covering abortion. How do you see this amendment should it be introduced in the Senate as well and pass, become part of health care reform? How would it affect abortion in this country, Susan?
Well, Kathleen, I do want to correct something. The STUPAC Pitts Amendment only deals with government funding of abortion. You know, the White House and congressional Democratic leaders, they spent months concealing the fact that provisions in that bill would have directly funded abortions through a government plan and then would subsidize premiums for private abortion plans. But, you know, last weekend, we saw a vote that dealt a sharp blow to the White House's pro-abortion efforts in regard to this bill by a vote of 240 to 194, and that included 64 Democrats. They passed the STUPAC's Pitts Amendment, and it removed two major provisions from H.R. 3962. The amendment would permanently prohibit the new federal government insurance program, which is known as the public option, from paying for abortion except to save the life of the mother or in cases of rape and incest. And then secondly, the amendment would permanently prohibit the use of new federal premium subsidies, which they call affordability credits, to purchase private insurance plans that cover abortion, again, except to save the life of the mother or in cases of rape and incest. Now, this does not preclude any woman from obtaining an abortion through health insurance. Your parent organization, the National Public Radio, has done an analysis of the bill called Breaking Down Abortion Language in the Health Bill. And they say that if you get your health insurance through the government or with help from the government in the form of a tax subsidy, your plan won't cover abortion, but you would have the right to purchase abortion coverage with your own money. And they are very clear that when it comes to private insurance, the Stupak Amendment does not apply to private insurance bought with private money, but it would whenever there are tax subsidies involved. That would be government money, so a woman would have to purchase it on her own. But no woman is going to be denied having an abortion under this health care plan, under the Stupak-Pitts Amendment, is when it comes to federal dollars, she would have to purchase that on her own.
But the question is, with this rider, isn't it? I mean, who nobody wants to have an abortion. Who would want to buy a rider to get abortion coverage when they're not anticipating that they would get an abortion?
Well, that's going to be up to the woman. She will have to decide if that's the type of coverage that she wants to get or not. Unfortunately, Planned Parenthood and others are out talking about the fact that the Stupak-Pitts Amendment would preclude women under private insurance from being able to have abortion coverage. And that's simply not true. We're talking about federal dollars being used. Once the federal dollars are out of the equation, which Stupak does, then a woman can have an abortion, but she would have to pay for that with her own dollars.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't there supposed to be a part of this, though, that you would be paying, your copayment would pay for some of your health coverage under these plans, and then the government would pay a subsidy for some of the other part? What about the idea of using your own copay, your own money, for abortion coverage and not use federal dollars for
that? I'm not familiar with how co-pays work in this particular plan, so I really couldn't comment on that.
Mm-hmm. Would that be amenable, though, to your organization, to you?
I have no idea. I have not even looked at that issue in terms of co-pays. If it's federal dollars, government dollars, which, and we all know where government dollars come from, they come from the taxpayer. If that's involved either through direct funding or through subsidies, then we would object to that, as do the vast majority of the American people. Poll after poll shows that people in this country, regardless of whether they call themselves pro-life or pro-choice, object to their tax dollars being used to pay for abortions.
Mm-hmm. And tell us more, give us a refresher on what the Hyde Amendment does.
The Hyde Amendment, actually the language of Stupak-Pitts, mirrors the Hyde Amendment. It would prohibit the government from paying for abortions except in cases of life of the mother or rape and incest. Now, many have claimed that the Hyde Amendment, because that is currently in force, would cover all of these abortions in the health care plan, and that's simply not true. The Hyde Amendment was specifically developed to only deal with Medicaid dollars flowing through the Department of Health and Human Services. It does not cover these health care issues. So it's an entirely different set of issues that deals with. In addition, the Hyde Amendment has to be reauthorized every year when the budget is being developed for HHS. And so easily someone could decide not to renew that, and that might not come into play again. And so it's just not true that the Hyde Amendment would cover these abortions under the health care plan.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see things going in the Senate? Will there be a similar amendment in the Senate?
Yes. Already they are talking about that, and as we know, the action is now shifting to the U.S. Senate. It appears that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has filed a motion to introduce the bill on Monday. However, it's got to have a motion passed to proceed to the bill, and that's going to take 60 votes. So we're not quite sure what's going to happen next week, but he is going to try to put that on the floor of the Senate. Yes, and indeed, we do expect that there will be language like Stupak's Pitts. I know that Senator Ben Nelson has already said that he might be the leader on that, because he wants language, strict language like Stupak-Pitts, To be in the Senate version of the bill. And so we'll see where that goes. And I know others like Senator Kent Conrad and others also, these are Democrats, but they want language like Stupak Pitts in the bill.
Mm-hmm. Senator Barbara Boxer said earlier this week the Senate didn't have the votes to add that kind of an amendment. Do you think she's off base?
Well, we saw what happened in the House, where we had 64 votes for Stupak Pitts from the Democratic side, and all Republicans except one also voted for it. So I don't think they imagined that many Democrats over in the House would be voting for this. But again, the senators have to understand that their constituents don't want taxpayer-funded abortions. They don't want the government funding abortions. And they're going to have to make some decisions over in the Senate. But again, we don't know what the vote count's going to be. They don't know what the vote count's going to be. We're going to have to wait and see.
How important, Susan, is a pro-life provision in health care reform?
In terms of federal funding of abortion?
In terms of the whole bill.
Well, it's important so that the American taxpayer is assured that the federal funds are not being used to destroy human life. And that's, or whether you're pro-choice, too, it's a matter of abortion not really being health care. We know that President Obama feels it's health care. He has promised Planned Parenthood and others that he will try to use the health care plan in order to provide abortion with government funding of abortion. But we object to that. Many do object to that. But it's a very important provision because it will protect federal funds from being used for that purpose.
Mm-hmm. So let's say if you get a Senate plan that doesn't include this, you've got the House plan that has passed the Stupak Amendment. When they get together for conference, where do you think people are going to stand in terms of voting on this issue? Will it be an important enough issue that there would be a no vote on the part of a number of Republicans and conservative Democrats on the whole bill because of this provision or lack thereof?
Well, they're not necessarily, let me correct that, they're not necessarily conservative Democrats. There were many moderate Democrats that voted for the Stupak Pitts amendment. We don't know how that's going to play out. I know that Speaker Pelosi and some others in the House Democratic leadership have spoken to some of the groups saying, oh, don't worry, we'll get it out in conference committee. But we're not going to let that happen. We're going to make sure that that language remains in the bill.
Mm-hmm. And what about the president's comments, Susan, when he said this is a health reform bill, this is not an abortion bill, we're making too much of the abortion issue in a bill that really looks at other health reform issues?
Yeah, he also said, you know, we're not looking to change what the principle has been in place for a very long time, which, you know, federal dollars can't be used to subsidize abortions. But the only thing that's going to prevent the health care bill from being an abortion bill is the Stupak Pitts language, as the House of Representatives recognized by a 46-vote margin. The phoniness of President Obama's claim that he's been trying to preserve the status quo on abortion policy should be evident to any observer by now. In reality, you know, the White House and the top Democratic congressional leaders have been working really hard to create a national federal government health care plan that would fund abortion on demand. And that's just as the president promised Planned Parenthood, and that's what he's trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. And by abortion on demand, what do you mean?
We're talking about abortion for any reason.
What about abortion coverage now in private insurance plans? I read somewhere, Susan, maybe I'm wrong here, that 50% of private insurance plans now do not cover abortion.
And that could very well be. It's, you know, here at Wisconsin Right to Life, of course, we, you know, our plan does not cover abortion. And I know it is possible to get insurance policies that does not cover abortion. And that's important that choice be out there for employers who don't want to cover it.
Let's welcome phone calls. We have just 10 minutes left with Susan, so get your calls in right away. We have two sides on this issue. Susan Armacost is Legislative Director for Wisconsin Right to Life. We're talking about the provision added on Saturday to the health care bill that was passed by the House of Representatives that would place restrictions on abortion coverage. This goes to the Senate. As you know, there will be a similar amendment introduced in the Senate. There is some question about whether or not the Senate has the votes on this issue, and then what happens when they don't pass anything? Then you got this reconciliation process when they get together, and what happens as a result of that? And I guess the big question too is how important this particular issue is, and it is very important to many people when it comes to looking at all of healthcare reform, that it's a major factor. We'll take your phone calls in a moment. The second half of our show, we'll speak with the public policy analyst for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program, in addition to being Veterans Day, it is also, did you know this, Abigail Adams' 265th birthday. She was a fascinating woman, and we'll speak with the author of a new biography of Abigail Adams that has that name as its title. You'll enjoy the conversation. That's after 10 this morning. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and we have a couple lines open if you'd like to join the conversation. We go to Kelly from Toma next. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is what are we looking at for costs for uninsured people for an abortion? Like, what are the costs on this, if you know?
It ranges. We've heard, and I think it depends on how late in the pregnancy it is, but it from several hundred dollars up to $600-$700. I'm not familiar with locally what is being paid, but it's a range of prices.
Okay, and I guess to add on too is how could this not be considered an elective? You know, like any other I guess woman's choice in her health care, why wouldn't this be an elective? Why am I naive to think that this wouldn't be an elective? What would the circumstance be that it wouldn't be an elective?
I'm not sure what you're talking about in terms of elective abortion. If Stupak Pitts had not been added, any woman could have had government funds pay for an abortion or received coverage for an abortion under a program that received government subsidies, and it could be for any reason. Stupak Pitts maintains the status quo under what is the Hyde language, and that is life of the mother and rape and incest.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call. Michael from Minneapolis, hello.
Hi. I was wondering, basically, since the majority of people get their coverage through employers who receive a tax credit, which I would assume would be basically subsidized, you know, be covered under subsidized. Wouldn't that limit women, like majority of women, if they want an abortion? This would be a larger group than people who buy.
I'm not sure how that would work out. All I can tell you is that the health care bill would change everything. So what is, you know, how they would receive their health care would not likely be the same as is currently being done. But I'm not sure how that would work out. All we know is that under this health care proposal, the federal government would be paying for any woman's abortions who wanted to have one for any reason, as many times as she wanted one, at any time during pregnancy. So people don't want to fund that with government funds.
Well, the thing is, right now we're not paying for abortions with federal money. Now, with this amendment, now we're taking it out from all plans.
That's not true. A woman can have an abortion. Any woman can still have an abortion under the Stupak Pitts Amendment. It's just that the government would not be paying for it.
Yes, but you have to buy your own plan private plan, and there's rarely anybody that buys their own plan through personal insurance because that's extremely expensive. Like, that's...
Again, the only thing Stupak Pitts does is say that government funds can't be used to pay for abortion, nor can plans that are subsidized by the federal government, where federal subsidies are being used to fund that. That is, abortion would not be allowable except in the case rape and incest, life of the mother.
Thanks very much for your call. The Catholic Church has been given a lot of credit for passage of Stupak Pitts. Deservedly so, Susan?
I'm sorry, what did you say? I didn't catch your question.
The Catholic Church has been given a lot of credit for helping to pass Stupak Pitts. Is that a deservedly so credit?
The Catholic bishops were very involved, and as was the National Right to Life Committee, which is our parent organization, and the Americans United for Life, Chicago-based organization that we work with as well. So there were a number of organizations that were very, very involved in it, but certainly the Catholic bishops were very, very vocal and very involved.
Mm-hmm. We go to Mark next from Appleton. Hi, Mark.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Your guest claims to be right for life, and I'd like to maybe point out the fact that maybe she is in favor of the national health, the healthcare reform bill that they're discussing, but millions of people in America don't have health insurance because they can't afford it. And so the idea that life is a right and yet you don't have the health care that you need in order to maintain life is really disturbing. And so it's the same thing when we're talking about when she's saying that anybody could still have an abortion. Of course, what you mean is you're limiting it to the people who could afford the extra insurance or could afford to pay for the procedure. So you're really making this very much a case of, you know, and women in this country do have the right to choice, and you're basically making it that right based on what you can afford to pay for. And I would like to know if your guest was in favor of the health care reform bill if it with this amendment.
Our organization takes no position on the health care reform bill per se, but we do take a position on it, on the aspects of it that would require federal funding for abortion. And so that's where our issue is on this particular very defined issue, not on the general health care bill.
So you wouldn't, you probably can't answer this then, if there were such a provision, if it passed in the Senate and the House and were part of the bill, considering all the other things, and I know it's a huge bill, that were a part of this, your organization would not take a stand on this?
Well, probably not. And a whole other issue that we're concerned about that we're not discussing today, which would take another program, is the end-of-life issues and the rationing of health care. We're very, very concerned about that as well. But for today's discussion, we are, you know, focusing on the federal dollars being used to provide abortions. And therefore, you know, we would oppose the bill with those provisions on health care legislation per se. We don't take a position on that.
Okay. One more phone call. Carol from Oconomowoc. Hi, Carol.
Yes, you were talking about the phoniness of the Obama administration. I would like to address the fact that I think your stance is phony, too, because you claim to do this because you care about unborn fetuses. What about poor mothers who can't afford a child, who at this point you're going to force to bring a child into the world that they maybe can't feed or clothe, or maybe they live in a horrible situation? You don't care about those people. You're just trying to force your beliefs on other people.
We don't care about people. I guess I would argue with you on that. But, you know, there are a number of other options for women, adoption. There are helps out there in the community. The Right to Life movement has tremendous resources throughout the state to help pregnant women and their babies. So there are alternatives out there. But again, we're talking about taxpayer dollars that go to fund the government that will be flowing out to pay for abortion for any reason, for as many times as a woman might want an abortion. And remember that abortion, 50% of the abortions are repeat abortions. And again, throughout the entire 9 months of pregnancy. So the taxpayers don't want that, and we certainly don't want that as a Right to Life organization, and that's what we're talking about.
Susan, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Susan Armacost, Legislative Director of Wisconsin Right to Life. We change guests and viewpoints now. Nicole Safar is here. She is Public Policy Analyst for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, providing legal and legislative research for the policy and organizing team. Our phone number remaining the same. It's 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And if you would like to send an email, you can always do that. That's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Nicole, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for asking me.
Tell me how you believe what happened in the House, the passage of the amendment, Stupak Pitts Amendment, restricts abortion. What kinds of restrictions were added?
Well, I was listening to your last guest, and I couldn't even really keep track of how many times she misstated the facts and what actually had happened. Up until the House was on the floor and they were kind of in the 24th hour of debate, there was an abortion compromise in both houses, in the Senate and in the House, that essentially maintained the status quo, and that was called the Capps Amendment. People on both sides of the aisle, pro-life Democrats, pro-choice Democrats, worked really hard on the language in this Capps Amendment for, gosh, maybe 5 or 6 months, and it was a lot of negotiation, very carefully crafted, and it essentially maintained the status quo. It prohibited any federal funds from paying for abortions, but it didn't take away any coverage that women already had for abortion coverage. If, depending on what study you look at, between 55 and 85% of private insurance plans cover abortion right now.
What is that, 55 and?
Between 55 to 85%, depending on what analysis you look at.
Okay.
I really encourage people to call their plans and see if they abortion is covered. A lot of people that I've talked to have done so and found that it is covered in their plans right now. So there was this compromise, the Capps Amendment. In the final hours of debate, the Stupak-Pitts Amendment came in, wiped away all of that work that had been done on Capps, and really has become an extreme amendment for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and the Right to Life movement, and it kind of threw away everything that everybody had been working on up until that point. The Stupak-Pitts Amendment is a lot more extreme than anything else we've seen so far, and it does way more than what the Hyde Amendment does. The Hyde Amendment, your previous guest was correct, applies just to, well, essentially to Medicaid and some Medicare patients, and it says that no public funding can be used for abortions under that program. But there are dozens of other federal rules that restrict public funding for abortion as well. So this Stupak-Pitts Amendment is just a bigger expansion of prohibiting not only government funding for abortion, but really preventing access, because it also says that under the public option, if we end up with one, plans cannot offer abortion coverage. It also says that anyone who gets an affordability credit, anyone who receives a subsidy, which right now that kind of income level is $88,000 for a family of four, so anyone up to 400% of the poverty level that might receive a subsidy, cannot purchase coverage that has abortion coverage in it, even if they use their own private money.
Hmm. So how did it happen that something was so carefully crafted, because it's such a sensitive issue, so it was worked on and worked on, how did it happen at the last minute that we had something completely different pass?
Sure. I mean, it really was kind of stunning, but it ended up being kind of a marriage of convenience between two factions. One faction, the groups that are really single issue, want to make abortion illegal, want to make abortion inaccessible for as many women as possible, they kind of put their chips on the table. And then the Democrats, who weren't going to vote for the health care plan anyway. So there were a handful, I don't know the exact number, but a lot of the Democrats who voted for the Stupak-Pitts Amendment ended up not even voting for the bill. So it was kind of this partnership of people who wanted to kill the bill and people who their number one issue is to make abortion illegal.
Mm-hmm. So they were pretty wise politically, actually.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what about the Senate? There have been senators saying there's no way that the Senate, because it is more pro-choice than the House, could pass a similar amendment.
Well, it's interesting. Like I said, Planned Parenthood has really been working very closely in this health care reform debate for the last 6 or 8 months. And this particular language that was in the STUPAC amendment has already been defeated in both of the Senate committees. So there were members who were trying to introduce, who've been trying to introduce extreme anti-abortion language throughout the whole process. I mean, I can't even tell you how many amendments we've beat back in all of the committees. But in both Senate committees, they've said no to this language. So we are really working to mobilize our supporters all across this country to make sure that senators know the public is on our side. The public is not wanting to prohibit access to abortion coverage. We're just really working hard over the next couple of weeks.
The president, and I'm wondering if you agree with him, says that what we're looking at, and we've been talking about for months now, is health care reform, not an abortion bill. This kind of conversation that we're having and what's been happening this week would indicate that it is indeed an abortion bill as well.
No, I certainly agree with the president. I mean, health care reform is a serious issue in this country, and we've been working very hard to advance policy goals that will cover as many people as possible. And during this debate, it has always been Planned Parenthood's priority to ensure that all women have access to full, comprehensive health care. And that has been our main priority. That's been our driving point. We are a health care provider in the state of Wisconsin. We serve 80,000 patients. Across the country, we serve 5 million patients. I mean, that really is our number one concern and role. And it just makes me kind of laugh to listen to the other side talk, because they have not done a single thing to advance health care reform in this country. All they do is put up blocks. And we have been working really hard to ensure that as many Americans that don't have coverage will have some sort of coverage soon.
Let's go to phone calls. We have many of them. Linda Menasha. Hi, Linda.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to say that, first off, an earlier caller had mentioned that because of the way this is set up, it's pretty obvious that the poorest people are not going to be able to afford to get their own abortion, or they're going to have to go to some backstreet alternative option. And it just blows my mind that there are people out there that don't want federal funds to pay for an abortion, yet they don't have any issues with imposing the cost of raising that unwanted child, probably in a poorer community and with a poorer family with less options to have a positive outcome for their upbringing and to be a positive contributor to society, all the potential negative impacts on that person, on that child as they grow up, society will be paying for. They have no problem imposing that on the rest of the country, but because there are some out there that don't want to pay federal funds to pay for abortion. That's my comment, and I'll listen out there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I really need to be clear about this point, is that under current law, federal money does not pay for abortions. That's what the Hyde Amendment ensures. There are other federal laws that say that federal employees and their spouses and dependents cannot get abortion coverage using federal funding. Women in federal prisons cannot get abortion coverage. Women in the District of Columbia cannot get abortion coverage. So there are, half a dozen or 10 other federal laws out there that kind of prohibit different pockets of women from getting access to abortion coverage. What the STUPAC-Pitts Amendment does is broadly expand that kind of population of women to really middle-class women, because those are the women who we know are going to be purchasing insurance in the exchange, women who make too much money to qualify for Medicaid but have to purchase their own insurance right now, or work for small companies or small businesses that will be purchasing insurance through the exchange.
And what would be the problem with, Susan talked quite a bit about being able to purchase a rider so abortion would be provided. What about this rider?
Sure. I mean, I think that that argument fundamentally misunderstands the nature of an unplanned pregnancy or a complicated pregnancy. Women don't plan to have an abortion. It happens when they become pregnant unintentionally or when something in their pregnancy goes wrong and their health becomes at risk. So this is not something that women plan for. It's something that, you know, that happens and that is a healthcare reality. I think another thing that really we don't talk about that much is that regardless of what the final language in the bill says, when the bill passes, it will be an insurance mandate. So it will say that everybody out there has a responsibility to get themselves some health insurance. Well, for, 51% of the population, women, they're going to be mandated to purchase insurance where they won't have abortion coverage, despite the fact that 1 in 3 women will have an abortion by the time she's 45. So we're being mandated to purchase this coverage that doesn't cover our health needs, that, you know, a third of the women are going to experience in their lifetime.
Scott from Appleton, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I think this is just sad that you have a group of ideologues hijacking what could be comprehensive health care for people in this country, the same group that does not allow easy access to birth control for low-income people are now trying to let us think that, well, they can go up and purchase a rider on their health insurance to prevent abortion. I just think we need to call this what it is, and it's just another attempt to throw abortion up in the air. And it's just really sad. It's absurd. And why can't we just call it what it is? And this is the same group of people, and please, no personal attacks intended, but when you look at the mindset of the body count we have going around the world right now to bring this up, and I really think you need to take a close look at this as you watch your husband or your wife die from leukemia because you were bounced around to a half a dozen different hospitals over a six-month period. And just stand back, take a breath, and look at what this is going to do 10 years down the road, and I'll listen to my comments if there are any off the air.
All right, Scott. Nicole?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what Scott said is so important, and it's really the experience of so many Wisconsinites, so many Americans. This is about healthcare. This is about, you know, the 40 million Americans that don't have access to health insurance. And really kind of playing politics with pregnancy and abortion is shameful. I mean, we need to get this done for the people in Wisconsin. We need to have access to health care. Like I said, Planned Parenthood provides health care to 80,000 patients in this state, and that is our priority. We really feel like this reform, it was time for reform, and we want to be a part of this solution.
More phone calls in a moment. Our number, 800-486-8655. Nicole Safar is our guest this half hour, public policy analyst for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. We're looking at the provision that was added really at the last moments of the health care reform debate and vote in the House on Saturday. And now the question is what happens in the Senate and what role the abortion debate will play in final passage of health care reform in this country. We have an email, too, that address talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program today, on the occasion of her 265th birthday, we talk with the author of Abigail Adams. It's a fascinating look at her early years, and I think this is little known. She had a huge role in growing the family fortune that was fueled by her wartime speculating and her penchant for investing in depreciated government services. Her husband, John, preferred investing in real estate. And then what she did with that money is also extremely interesting. She had a will that she created to distribute what she considered to be her property. That was unheard of in those days. Women didn't have property. It was an outright challenge to the laws of the time, which dictated that women had no right to own any property of their own. It's a fascinating look at her life and her spirit and their letter correspondence. And, of course, all of this in the context of the Revolutionary War. So that's coming up, our number two. We return to phone calls. Mary Pat from Wauwatosa. Hello.
Oh, hey. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi,
Hope
Mary
you're doing
Pat.
Well.
Thank you. You too.
And thank you to Planned Parenthood for rallying to the cause. I'm always glad to hear you. I have a question and then I have a couple of comments. My question is, and I apologize if you answered this already, but how is abortion being paid for now for low-income folks? And then my comments are, you know, I totally understand that there's a lot of people who don't like abortion, but the fact remains it is currently legal. And if we go and cherry-pick through this health care program which treatments and procedures we like or don't like, I mean, if marijuana, medical marijuana becomes legal, there's going to be people who say, no, but we don't want our tax dollars to pay for that. You know, I don't want my tax dollars paying for war, but, hey, you know, it's legal. So this whole argument that they're making is ridiculous. And I will add that a past caller said that these are the same people, the ideologues, who are willing to let our tax dollars pay for raising the children that low-income women didn't want to have or couldn't afford to have. Au contraire, the conservatives are the people who don't want abortion. They're also the people who don't want social programs. So go figure. Thanks for your time. I'll get off the air.
Thanks, Mary Pat.
Currently, for low-income women to obtain an abortion, it is really, really difficult. If they are on the Medicaid program, both state, Wisconsin state, and federal law prohibit Medicaid from paying for their abortion, so they essentially have to pay out of pocket for it.
And thanks for your call. We go to, Barbara from Madison. Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi.
My question has to do with Viagra and other recreational drugs for men. The government currently pays for those through the VA, and nobody seems to be discussing the fact that the government is willing to pay for these non-essential drugs. So have you heard otherwise? Because I have heard nothing regarding the fact that the government is willing to pay for Viagra.
Sure. I think one thing that is just striking under this whole health care reform debate is that every other health care decision about coverage is going to be determined by an independent board of experts and physicians and, you know, government officials. Abortion is the only health care procedure that they're talking about accepting out. Everything else is going to be decided. Coverage is going to be decided by experts. But for some reason, for pregnant women and when it comes to abortion coverage, the politicians think they should be making the decision for us.
Those Viagra ads, yeah, maybe we're off on another topic, but I want to do a show on that, how much money these pharmaceuticals are paying. It's just unbelievable, isn't it?
The drug industry, I think, is kind of a whole other topic.
Yeah, it sure is. We got to get on that topic. Let's do the drug industry next week. Rhonda nods her head. Yes, let's do it. Thank you, Barbara, very much for your call. We go next to Anita from Gurnee, Illinois. Hi, Anita.
Hi. Such an interesting couple of discussions here. You might be surprised to hear somebody that is really terribly opposed to abortion also believes that there should be freedom of choice. And as a Catholic, this has been very difficult for me because, for years I donated to Right to Life, and I did right up until the time of this disgusting war that we're in, because during the previous elections, the last two elections, what we kept hearing and seeing in our bulletins every Sunday, there was even one Sunday, a 7-point consideration that they wanted us to consider when voting for someone, and it was all about abortion. And nowhere when we went into this war did I see 7 points in the bulletin for us to consider. Did we want a warmonger with oil interest to spearhead a bloodshed of our young people? It seems to me that the way, this is my feeling and that of many people I've spoken to, that the way to combat the awfulness of abortion, of the act itself, is not by diminishing women's choices, but by expanding their horizons, educating them, and giving them more choices, more options. And then in finality, it's up to them. I think that the very title, Right to Life, is not just a misnomer. I think it's meant to delude people, because it would seem that their only concern and the only sanctity of life that they look to is that in the womb and that on death row. And those in between, particularly on an unjust battlefield, are not considered at all. So I lost my contributions and my esteem and my respect for the Right to Life organization. That's all I have to say.
Nicole.
Yeah, I mean, I really thank the caller for her thoughts, because I feel like so many people, especially so many people who are, you know, in the pews in the Catholic Church, really feel the same way. These are difficult issues. These are personal issues. But it is Planned Parenthood's philosophy as well to give women, give families as many options as they can, educate them, provide them with prevention services so they aren't in the position of having an unintended pregnancy. And, you know, we really support that sort of philosophy.
Here's an interesting email. If the new health care plan would not allow insurance companies to refuse coverage for pre-existing conditions, could a pregnant woman who needs the choice then buy the coverage?
That is a really interesting question. And, you know, we've had lawyers looking at kind of the impact, and they haven't quite gotten down to that detail. But I think it's really an important thing that we need to think about, because there are a good portion of women who terminate their pregnancies because it's not the right time for them to become a mother. But there's also a percentage of women who have wanted pregnancies and something goes wrong and their health is at risk. So I don't know. I mean, from just kind of the plain reading of the amendments, it would seem that unless they're going to die, they could not get coverage.
Thank you, Anita, for your call. Kevin from Platteville, hi.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, I was just thinking about the lady who just called in. I was thinking it would probably be important to recognize that the National Right to Life people, that same group is not pushing for the war. It's another issue. Otherwise, I am pro-life, by the way, and I'm thinking, you know, for me, I wouldn't want my tax dollars going to pay for what I consider the killing of babies. I'm thinking that the various organizations that are pro-choice out there, can they just get together and get a membership and get something going in the private sector so that they can have a fund for abortions? Otherwise, you know, what we have right now is a bill that has been put together under the democratic process. And, you know, that's democracy.
Yeah, but how do you deal, Kevin, with the issue, be for abortion or against it, that it is legal? It's the law of the land.
Oh, I agree. It's legal. You know, and as long as it's legal, it's legal. But just because something is legal doesn't mean that that's what the people democratically want their money to pay for. They agree, yes, let people use their own money or wherever they can get the money, say from a private foundation, which pro-choice people could put together. Sure.
Nicole.
Sure. I mean, there currently is a huge network of privately funded organizations across this country that do help women who cannot afford abortion access pay for their abortions. Again, I really can't highlight how much that right now there is no federal funding for abortions for people who are on Medicaid, for people who are in the military overseas, for people who work for the federal government. What the Stupak-Pitts Amendment does is greatly expand that pot of people who will no longer be able to have insurance coverage. And, you know, the foundations and charities have a really hard time meeting the need now when it's just poor women who can't access the services. When it becomes poor women, working class women, middle class women, it's just going to be a huge expansion of women who will no longer have coverage.
Thanks for the call. We have about a minute left. Another interesting email, Paul from Milwaukee. Barring major and rare complications, abortion, a one-time procedure costing no more than $350 to $1,000, depending on the stage of pregnancy. This would be a burden for many women. I suspect almost all could raise the money if they had to. The Stupak Amendment is an assault on women, and yes, it discriminates against the poor, but if this is the price we have to pay for comprehensive health care reform, might it not be worth it?
You know, and I have to go back again to the CAPS amendment, the compromise that was crafted up until the last minute when the Stupak amendment swept in. The CAPS amendment is not something that Planned Parenthood loved. It's not something that we would, in really any other situation, say we could get behind. But because health care reform is so important, because there are 21 million women and girls out there who don't have access to coverage right now, we are willing to compromise. The Stupak Amendment is not a compromise. It is an extreme shift from all the discussions that have happened so far, and it really rewrites abortion coverage in this country, and that we cannot stand for.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Nicole, for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks. Nicole Safar, public policy analyst for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. We thank Susan Armacost, legislative director for Wisconsin Right to Life. It was an interesting conversation, different viewpoints on what happened in the houses. They added a bill, an amendment to health care reform that would restrict abortion coverage on the part of insurance companies. We'll continue, of course, conversation on healthcare. We've done, a whale of a job in covering the many aspects of healthcare. And here is yet another one that we didn't think we would be talking about today. So stay tuned for more conversations. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. And thanks to Rhonda Fanning for on-air production as well. Stay tuned. It should be a great conversation ahead. And we're celebrating her birthday, Abigail Adams, 265 years old. We talk about her following the news.